All right, if you will, turn in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews. Man, I've already been blessed. I tell you what, Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 7. I want to say something else before I get started. Our young people put on a performance every last night for the Lord, gave Him the glory. We had a great time. Y'all did a tremendous job. I appreciate it. Your testimony in music and the words that you preached on and taught about were marvelous. I thank you so much for doing that. Maybe it'll grow. Hebrews starts off by saying this in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion or provocation in the days of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And then he gives us a warning. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture today, if there's someone here today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, today might be that day that they come to a saving knowledge simply by faith, saying, Lord, I want you in my life. I need you, and I want you in my life, and I'm asking you the best I know how to come into my life. If there's someone here today, Lord, that's already saved, but yet they have got away from you, strayed, wandered, may they come back to you and make a commitment to you. And Heavenly Father, if there's somebody here that you've led and they're looking for a church home, and this is the place that God has led them, I pray today that they might come, be a part of this great fellowship. And we'll give you all the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Hebrews starts off by saying that God has spoken to the people in many ways. He spoke to the prophets in the early days through dreams, through visions. And now He speaks to His Word today. And through the Holy Spirit speaking. You know, the Holy Spirit, the moment we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and begins to convict us and point out the sin in our life, and it knocks away everything that doesn't look like Jesus Christ and shows us where we need to get our lives right. Perhaps today you're sitting there and the Holy Spirit is in this place, and the Holy Spirit through the Word of God is telling you that there's some areas in your life that you need to get right. You know, I don't know exactly what it might be, but there's a lot of things in our life that keep us from God, that keep us from having a fellowship with God. Amen? I know there's things God will convict me of, and sometimes I just say, God, I got to get this right, and I'll get it right. The other night someone called, and you never know when you're going to get a call, but Brother Bill and I just got a call, and we just come in from Tyler or the camp or somewhere, and we'd been driving most of the day, and then I got a call that Miss Ruby Fields was about to pass away. They put her on hospice, and I said, okay, I'll come down tomorrow. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, no, you'll go today. And I said, no, I'm busy, I'm tired, I'll wait till tomorrow. And I sat there at my desk, and many years ago now, over 30 years ago, I had the same thing happen. I got a call about a man about passed away, and I was sitting there, and I said, okay, I'll go see him tomorrow. Well, tomorrow never came for that man. He passed away that night, and I never got to see him. And I told myself then, I said, that's one thing I will not do again. And it was just like God slapped me and said, you're about to do it again. And man, I thought, man, I got to get up and go. That was Wednesday night because we had to be back for church that night. And I had all kinds of excuses why we couldn't. but you don't make excuses with God. You just go ahead and do what he tells you, and you listen to him and trust his word. He's always right, and he speaks through that voice. You know, he's given us two ears and one mouth. Maybe we should listen more and keep our mouth shut more. And he's also given us two, our spiritual ears. I think spiritual ears are the eyes and ears of our heart, where we listen to the Holy Spirit and we hear God's still small voice saying, I want you to do this. I'll never forget my call into the ministry. I ran from God. I said, I'll hide from God. How dumb can you get? You can't hide from God. There's no place, the Bible says, even in hell, if I ascend to the lower depths, I can't hide from God. And he spoke to me then, and he's speaking to me now. And, you know, I know that the voice of God wants us to listen and obey his voice. But, you know, many times we don't, do we? We sit here and we make excuses why we can't come to God. Some of you are sitting there, and maybe you've come in and you know you need to make a decision, but you know you're going to have all kinds of excuses when we get to the invitation. Somebody's going to say, well, now we're visiting today and my wife's sitting here. I can't do that because I'd hate to leave my wife or hate to, you know, we're friends. That's the way it normally goes, and I've been there. Or you're thinking, well, you know, the service is gone and I'll wait till next week. Next week may not ever come. Today is the day, the Bible says, of salvation. But whatever, there's all kinds of reasons that we skip doing what God says do. And if God speaks to your heart this morning, don't refuse his voice. Listen to his voice. Listen to what he's trying to tell you. Now, in our passage of Scripture, we see today, if you will hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the day of the provocation. Now, God will be angered. Now, let me tell you about this. God uses three words in this passage of Scripture that expresses anger. Provocation, it means to irritate. Have you ever been irritated? A lot of people irritate you, don't you? But you know what? God says, as in the day of provocation, they irritated God. Then it says grieved, means to be vexed with something. Or then it uses wrath. It means anger or indignation. God's anger. Now let me tell you something. It is a terrible thing for you and I to fall in the hands of an angry God. You know, there's a warning here that goes through history, and that's what we see if you look at this passage of Scripture. Here's a warning taken from Israel's history. You see, God had just taken them out of Egypt from bondage. They were down there. They were slaves to the Egyptians. You know, they had prayed, and they had waited 400 years for God to send a deliverer to them. They waited and they waited and they waited. God in his perfect time sent Moses to them. Moses went to Pharaoh, and you know the story. There was 9 plagues and all of this. And finally, Pharaoh said, okay, I'll let your people go. Well, they went. They got out there and the Red Sea was in front of them. The Egyptian army behind them, they began to murmur against God. Well, God blessed them and opened up the Red Sea, and they went across it. The Bible tells the Egyptians come in behind them, the waters closed. They would never see the army again. You would think after a miracle like that, they would trust God. But they begin to murmur. They begin to complain. They begin to whine. And they said, oh, we don't have food. You know, this manna that you give us, that heavenly bread, it gets old. He sent quail to them. They got tired of that. He brought water from a rock. They got fussy about that. They complained all the way through. And God says, I have given you the land. I'm going to bring you to a land that's ripe for harvest. It's flowing with milk and honey. Man, I'm going to tell you something. God put it there for them, gave it to them. All they had to do is go in and claim their blessing. They got to Kadesh Barnea. What did they do? They said, we don't know if we can do this or not. Little faith. So they sent out 12 spies into the land. Those spies went out to the land. The Bible says they brought grapes back, big old clusters of grapes. I don't know about you, but I love grapes. And then pomegranates. They brought all that back and said, listen, you know what? God is right. That land is truly a land blessed with milk and honey. But there's giants in the land. Wait a minute. God didn't say nothing about giants in the land. And you know what they said? We are as but grasshoppers. I love that passage of Scripture. I preached on that, seeing ourselves as grasshoppers many times. You know, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And you know, I know what a grasshopper, you heard me tell it. When you step on a grasshopper, instant green. They eat a lot of grass. That's the reason they call them grasshoppers. But you know what? A grasshopper is nothing. And they saw themselves, God says, you're my blessed children. But they saw themselves as nothings. Not only that, they saw that the giants were larger than their God. There's giants in the land. But God says, no, I've already given you the land. All you have to do is go and take it. Oh, but God, you're not as big as those giants. He's not. He's wiped out the whole Egyptian army. Don't you think he can take care of a bunch of Philistines? But they didn't see it that way, you see. Their lack of faith continued to work on them and work on them. So they saw themselves as nothing but grasshoppers. And they saw that their God wasn't as big as their giant. And something else they saw, their fears were a whole lot greater than their faith. And sometimes, I'm saying, sometimes I believe that we think that our God is not big enough to handle our problems. Friends, our God is big enough to handle all our problems. If we'll turn them over to Him, the reason we don't turn them over to Him, we let our fears be bigger than our faith. And we do not claim the blessings. We're just as bad as the Israelites were. And let me tell you something. God, He was grieved. He was vexed. He was angered. And this is what He says. Today, if you hear my voice and you refuse to listen to my voice, listen, you keep hardening your heart as in the day of the rebellion when Israel, you know what? Their lack of faith caused them to die in the wilderness. Because of their faithlessness and lack of trust in God, He was provoked, He was angered, and they wandered for 40 years till everybody over the age of 20 died. Now, there's always some old boy that's going to come up and say, well, you know, God got, He sinned, He got anger. He was angry. That's not a sin for God to get angry. It was a righteous anger in which He was just vexed and He was tired. You know, sometimes I know He looks down at my life and says, you know what? I'm getting pretty vexed with you. You're not listening to me like I want you to. You're not doing what I want you to do. Friend, let me tell you, our God is slow to anger, or He'd already zapped me and been gone. But you know what? I know that He can be angered. And I reverence my God. I know that my God is sufficient to meet all my needs in Christ Jesus. And the Bible that tells me of a God full of love and a God full of grace. Let me tell you something. Our society today wants to hear all about God is love and God is grace and God is good and all of that, and He is. But He's also a God of justice, a God of mercy, a holy God. And if you better watch out, you may be dying in the wilderness. Had a man one time that went against the church, he went against God, and let me tell you something, he died because he spoke out against God. You do not do that. The Bible says God is also like a consuming fire, and it's a very fearful thing to get Him angry with you. Ask the children of Israel. Now, somehow we have the notion also in our society that sin doesn't matter. Oh, well, preacher, it's just a little sin. Everybody does that. It don't make it we're in a different generation. I'm sick of that, and I know God is sick of it. Let me tell you something. Sin is sin. And it's sin back then. It's sin today. God says, don't do it. Get away from it. It will harm you. The reason He shows us that is because He knows it will destroy our life. And when we sin, what? We suffer the consequences of that sin. You can't get around it. You sin, you're going to pay the price. You sin, you're going to reap the circumstances of that sin. Oh, you can get forgiveness, but let me tell you something. David paid the price. And all through the years, people have paid the price because they have a notion that somehow I can just sin, confess it, and it's all forgotten. It is forgotten, but there's still a consequence of that sin. I was speeding one time. Don't do that very often. I said one time. Be honest with you, I've done it several times and I got caught. I paid the price too. I paid the price. Ask Dan about it. I told him. You don't speed through Frankston, do you, Dan? Does not listen to his pastor? What's that little man with them red lights behind me? I think he wants to pull you over. It costs when you know you're doing wrong and you don't do it. Well, folks, God will be angered. Not only that, our hearts will be hardened. Now listen to him. Do not harden your hearts as in the day of the rebellion or in the day of the trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works. I was angry. If we refuse to hear God's word, our hearts will be hardened. And twice in the Word of God here it says that word hardened. It's used twice in our scripture, I believe, so we will listen. You know, we are told not to harden our hearts, not to harden our hearts, and not to harden our hearts, because if we harden our hearts, we'll get used to that hard heart. We'll get dim in our hearing. We won't hear God as we ought to through the deceitfulness of sin. Folks, sin is very deceitful. Now, you would think the more a person sins, the more he or she might be aware of that sin. Amen? But it's not so. It's kind of like the frog in the boiling water. You put him in cool water and turn the fire on, he'll boil to death because he's not aware that the temperature is coming up. Folks, when we sin and we sin and we sin and we are aware of that sin and yet we do nothing about it, it's kind of like rubbing your hands together or working with a shovel. Before long, it builds a callus there or a blister to start out with. That's a warning. Don't work. I told my daddy a long time ago, shovels don't fit my hand. He said, why? They have blisters on them. He said, so is your seat if you don't get busy. He had a way of, some reason or another, he had a way of correcting everything, making it so sensible. But you know, the more you sin, the more your hands become, or your heart becomes hardened towards that sin till you don't even recognize it as a sin. And time after time, the Israelites didn't listen to God. to where they didn't even hear him speak. And finally, he said, okay, you're going to wander in the wilderness till every one of you die. You know, the old devil will whisper to you, and he'll come to you and he'll say, you know, this not going to hurt your life. Go ahead and do it. We may do it. God convict us of it. A few weeks later, the old devil says, well, it didn't really hurt you. Let's do it again. And the first thing you know, guess what? You're addicted to it. Oh, no one will ever know. God will. Don't do it. Don't ruin your life. Listen to the warnings of God. God does love you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, and you put your name in there, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he says, I do love you. I sent my Son to die for you. And therefore, since I love you that much, I don't want you to harm your life with sin. Stay away from it. Don't harden your heart. Well, on the other hand, God comes and convicts us of that sin. And every time we ignore his calling, our hearts just become a little bit more cold to his word. Every time. Listen to this. James 1:14 says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. But when the lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Now, I love to fish. Entice is a fishing word, I think, or a fishing term, you know. We put a little bait on a hook, and we'll put a nice, juicy worm on that hook. Why? We want to entice that fish with it. You just put a hook out there, and it's not going to catch very many fish. I have before, but it's not going to catch a whole lot of fish. But when you put that nice little wiggly worm on there and throw it out there, what? You entice that fish to bite that hook. And once he bites that hook, he's hooked and cooked, boy. Let me tell you something. Sin is the same way. The old devil sends somebody along your way and says, okay, it looks good, doesn't it? Why don't you indulge? As she lusts, it says. Why don't you? Oh, it won't hurt. But when you're enticed by your own lust, and when that lust has conceived, the moment you take the bait, man, you're hooked. You're hooked. Sin is accomplished. And the Bible says, when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. The wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. Now, back when Ron and I got married, man, that's been a long time ago. I'm not going to tell you how many years. You have to tell me. Long time. But you know what? We got married forever, she said. We got married, and we lived on Rust Hospital Hill, up on in Rusk on the Hospital Hill there. Those old big 18-wheel trucks would come up that mountain, and you could hear them. Boy, they were dragging them gear on. They stopped at the truck stop on top of that hill just about 200 yards from our house. That's a noisy place. And then when they took off, you know, you hear them old gears shifting through every gear. First week or so we was married, we didn't get any sleep because all night long, they were shifting them gears. But you know what? After about 2 weeks, I thought they'd moved that truck stop. I couldn't even hear them. They didn't even come into my mind. I'd got used to hearing them. Folks, Jack Taylor's book, The Key to Triumphal Living, has a poem, and he put it this way. Listen to what it says. they came to the gates of Canaan, and they never entered in. They came to the very threshold, but they perished in their sin. And so we are ever coming to the place where two ways part. One leads to the land of promise, the other to a hardened heart. Now, folks, you got a choice. The Bible says, watch, beware today, lest you harden your heart, as the children of Israel did and couldn't hear the word of God. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be kind. He wants you to have a good life. Jesus said, I came that you might have abundant life and joy in that life. But you know what? If we're going to have an abundant life, that means we're going to have to follow God's design right here in this book, because He gave us life. He knows what's best for our heart. He knows what's best for my life. And all I have to do is say, Lord, I don't know what's best, but I know You do. And I want to follow Your will with my life. And I want You to love me, and I know He loves me. I want You to watch over my steps and guide my steps. The Bible says He guides our steps if we'll just let Him. And this morning, some of you are there, and you've hardened your heart. You know that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Time after time again, He says, you need to come get saved. He says, you need to come to get right. But you know what? We sit in our pew and we harden our heart and we say, oh, I'll do it some other day. Let me tell you something. The third point of this message is time will run out. Look at that again in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, what? Today. It doesn't say tomorrow. He says today. It's used twice, one in verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today. The word literally means while time lasts. Did you know what? You don't have a guarantee that you'll be here this evening. My uncle was a great preacher too. He, of the past days, he was a Methodist preacher, and I never will forget. My grandpa's brother, he walked outside his church in Troop, Texas, and fell dead. He had just preached one of the greatest messages. I was there. I was a young man then, but I never will forget. He walked out. They had the old steps that come down and the old white pillars going up in front of the Methodist church, and he was shaking hands, and as he shook hands, he just fell over dead. Never made it to that Sunday night service. Prepared for it. Had his sermon ready for it. But God says today for him. Let me tell you something. Some of you are here and you're thinking, well, I'll do that tonight. I'll do that next week. I'll do it next year. But today is all that you have. You know, there's a limit to the offer of God. The rich man, you know what he said? He said, I've got plenty of barns built. I've got my crops in. I feel safe. I feel secure. And he said today, you know, I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, and I'm going to be merry, for I have all the goods for the future. And you know what? He left out of there, and Jesus says, thou fool, tonight your life will be required of you. You don't have it all made. There's a time, and there's not a time. And today is the day of salvation. You know, we live in a time-conscious society. Some of you are thinking right now, what time is it? You done punched your phone, haven't you? I don't even wear a wristwatch anymore and turn my phone off, so I don't know what time it is. Oh, yeah, I got one right there. I'm 8 minutes over. It'll be longer than that time we get out of here. But let me tell you something. I'm not worried about time, because right now the only time I have is what God has given me. And you shouldn't be worried about time either. If you need to make a decision this morning, you should come down and let me talk with you, or let one of my ministers talk with you. Or, you know, if we have to spend 30 minutes after service explaining with you about the plan of salvation, we've got time right now. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about lunch or anything like that. It will not make a hill of beans difference to all eternity. You know? But everywhere we got clocks so we know what time it is. And they're ticking. And while I've been preaching this message, thousands have already died. They thought they had plenty of time. And we think time is endless. But you know what? We need to be aware that it is running out. My time is running out. People are always making excuses. I'm not going to trust God today. And the Lord says, you may never run out of excuses, brother, but you will run out of time. So I'm going to ask you this morning, what will you do with Jesus right now? What are you going to do with Jesus? Has he spoken to your heart this morning and said, today you need to get right? Don't harden your heart today. Don't anger me today. While there is time, hear his voice and do what he wants you to do. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for the opportunity we have. And Lord, if there is someone here today that needs to make a decision, today is the day. Let them make that decision, and we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it.